Welcome to The Greener Way. I'm your host, Michelle Baltazar, Executive Director of Media at FS Sustainability. We are recording on Gadigal land and we pay our respects to the traditional custodians of country and elders past and present. In today's episode, we are going to explore how fund managers and super funds, asset owners, can better assess the physical risks associated with their investment portfolios through the latest developments in geospatial intelligence. Joining us in our Sydney studio to talk about this is Candice Copperet, Head of Climate and Innovation Lab Sustainability Business at ISS Stocks. Candice, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Now, I know you're based in Berlin, but you're here in Sydney this week to talk to the investment community. So tell me, what are the kind of conversations you're having with super funds?
Yeah, super funds are really tackling their exposure to climate risk. So it's coming from two angles. The first one is obviously the mandatory climate reporting disclosures that is coming soon in Australia. So everybody is preparing for that. For this, investors have a need to understand what is their climate-related exposure, and this includes physical risks. And traditionally, when we've been discussing with investors, a lot of them have been involved in analyzing in depth their transition risk exposure, which is more of a shorter time type of a horizon for their risks. But recently, there has been a lot of focus on their physical risk exposure. And during this week, visiting those investors, there was a lot of conversation about how they can go about identifying their physical risk exposure and how they could make it or turn it into a decision-useful investment.
And here in Australia, we are used to extreme weather. We're talking about extreme drought, heat wave, and more recently, flooding as well. So we understand physical risk from that perspective. But then we talk about measuring physical risk. And I believe that ISS Stocks just issued a report around using geospatial intelligence, for example. So why do investors need geospatial intelligence?
The way that physical risks such as flooding or heat waves, droughts or cyclones or wildfires are affecting issuers or real assets is by really causing operational disruptions or by reducing the value of those assets. So inherently, this type of risk is location-based. And therefore, to assess physical risk exposure, there's a need for data that that requires spatial scales, because an asset would be in a certain location and it's going to be exposed in this specific location to very specific type of hazards. So it comes in two ways. First is to understand in this specific location what type of hazards are currently occurring and what type of hazards would be occurring potentially in the future in the context of a warming future scenario. Intensities or certain hazards in certain locations could start to appear, or the intensity of those hazards could intensify. So that's the first initial type of information that is needed at a location point. And then for investors to understand their exposure, the second type of data that is needed is asset location data. So understanding, for example, for a company where this company is operating, let's say we're talking about a company in the extractive industry, it's important to understand where its mines are located and whether they are in an area where it could be exposed to acute floodings currently, but also importantly in the future. So the type of data set is not only spatial, but also temporal as well, because climate change occurs over time and investors are assessing their exposure across different time horizons.
And then I would assume that you can then quantify the financial impact, gathering both hazard modeling data and asset data.
Yes. So once we know at a certain point on Earth what type of hazards are occurring and what type of hazard could occur in the future, once we know there is an asset in this location, then we can model and try to understand potential impact of those hazards on the operational of this asset specifically. So through business disruptions, through costs due to repairs, certain assets could lose value as well. So so these are things that we're quantifying to enable investors to understand the financial impact of those hazards on the issuers they are invested in.
And can you provide use case studies on how investors can use these physical risk models?
Yes, sure. So the first use case is really in portfolio monitoring. All investors will have a certain degree of risk that they can take when they are investing, and for them it's important to understand. You know, they will look at financial risk and other types of risk associated with the markets. But on top of that, they also need to consider climate related risk when they are mitigating their exposure. And by being able to quantify their exposure to physical risk, then they are able to understand where the hotspots are in their portfolios, and being able to take actions to mitigate them by either engaging with the companies that are invested in to try to understand what potential adaptation measures they might be thinking about putting in place, or by purely trying to mitigate those exposures at the portfolio level. Another use case is for investors that are investing in direct projects such as infrastructure, for example, or real assets. There is a need to do some due diligence before investing a lot of money in those type of projects. So understanding whether, you know, a certain project is going to be flooded in the next 5 years is quite important for their return on these investments. So from that perspective, they can, you know, look at an asset and run an analysis of the potential hazard exposure and being able to assess whether they're ready to take that risk potentially in the future.
How are climate models currently evolving in lockstep with what's happening in AI?
So climate models have been evolving a lot over time because they are constantly refined by new data sets. When we are looking at flood modeling, combining this with Earth observations, for example, for terrain elevation, helps to refine those models. This is an example. So Earth observations such as burnt area or observed floods really help to refine the models when it comes to hazard modeling. And as I said earlier, is that these type of data sets are quite complex. They are across space and time, and they require a lot of power to be processed first. And there's a multitude of data that can inform physical risk models. So leveraging the power of AI to feed and train climate models, leveraging all those different variables, can really help and refine it.
Fantastic. Candice, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
This is The Greener Way. I'm Michelle Baltazar. Thank you for listening.
The Greener Way podcast is a product of FS Sustainability. All information in this podcast is for education and entertainment purposes only. It is not intended as a substitute for professional, legal, or tax advice. Before making any financial decisions, you should read the product disclosure statement, and if necessary, consult a licensed financial professional. For more information, head to the disclaimer page on the FS Sustainability website, fssustainability.com.au.